This is where we're at today, is the Gentiles are having a visitation from God, but the Bible said as to those that are without that they shall not see when good cometh. For Satan, the god of this world, having blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they're not able to comprehend this wonderful light that shines in the midst of this intellectual darkness. Having eyes, they see not. Having ears, they hear not. And that means that they do not have the ear as to the church to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. It is the day of the great, wonderful visitation. The day of the visitation, and as it was with the Jews, Jesus said unto them, if only ye had known the day of your visitation, but said, because you did not, he said, now they shall lay thee even with the ground, even thy children within thee. And he said, the day will come when thine enemies shall cast a trench round about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. Or that is the time when the people rise up against the Jews, when they shall be hated of all nations, and that for his name's sake, and as it is the church, that all nations will come to hate you, because they're eventually going to realize that you are the head of the nations, and that you're not just here as to do your thing in the world, but that you are as to a threat to them, and that you are going to take their kingdom away from them, and that you're going to possess it forever and forever. For the Bible said, and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Not going to take the kingdom. We already have the kingdom. For the Bible said, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. So then we already have the kingdom. For the Bible said, the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And men press their way into the kingdom. So we're already in this great, wonderful kingdom age. The kingdom of God has come in. And we, who are ministers, we preach to you one thing. And that is the name of Jesus Christ as the door, as the entrance into this kingdom. And the next thing is the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Go ye and preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's not way off somewhere, as you say, in heaven, or it's not down in the earth. Who shall ascend into the heavens or go down to descend into the earth to bring it to you? But the kingdom of God is at hand. So then the kingdom of God is at hand. See, and you are the people that are fortunate to the extent that we are preaching to you the kingdom of God. I'm preaching to you the kingdom of God. Repent ye and receive the kingdom. Someone would say, Brother Pike, I thought you had to go into the kingdom. Well, that's really something, because the way it works is you've got to let the kingdom come into you. Somebody said, well, I thought you entered the kingdom of God, but the Bible said you inherit this wonderful thing from God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but you inherit this kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is one thing and one thing only, and that is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. For within Jesus Christ is all of eternity. Ah, that's a mystery how that God got it all in there, isn't it? But within Jesus Christ is everlasting to everlasting. Jesus Christ, the Bible said, and the fullness of God dwelt within Christ Jesus. The fullness of God. And how big is God? God said, what house shall you build me, seeing that I fill the heavens and the earth? He is above you, in you, and through you, and even from everlasting to everlasting. But somehow or another, the Bible teaches that the fullness of God was in Christ Jesus. Well, that is to say, God will never administer anything to this world except through the Spirit of His Son and through the name of His Son. There will never be anything that will ever come from God to you or from you to God except it passes through Christ, either from you to God or from God to you. So then we see that the kingdom of God is the Spirit of Christ. And the Bible speaks of this as a mind, saying, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he didn't try to make of himself a reputation like a lot of people do today, but he became humble even unto death at Calvary, washing the brethren's feet to leave them an example, so that we might see that humility is the forerunner of honor. So we find that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and receive the kingdom of God. As we prophesied down the streets of Dolorosa, we also said, repent ye and receive the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So then the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand for the Jews now, because their eyes are about to come open and God is about to rend the veil. Paul spoke of the Jews, saying, and in the reading of the Old Testament, the veil that was over Moses' face, that over the Old Testament, he used the term, is still over the face of the people, even until today, untaken away, but this veil is done away with in Christ Jesus. Well, that is to say, at the time that the Jews turn to Jesus, then the veil shall be lifted from their eyes, and the veil is the human reason of intellectual darkness that came from the tree of knowledge through the lust of the flesh. So we preached this morning on the understanding of those that are without, their understanding being darkened by the foolishness of the ignorance that is within them. Now, the world is not ignorant, folks. When it comes to natural understanding, we are considered to be babes, because they're very lofty, they're very thorough, they're very explicit, they're very educated from the old tree of learning, and ever learning and never really understanding anything, because they are within a veil, and that intellectual veil is death. For the Bible said to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When we have the mind of Christ, which is the mind of the Word of God, then we have peace. Because all of the paths of God are peace, and Christ, the Word, is the Prince of Peace. And when you have the Prince of Peace in your heart, then do you have peace. And you are the children of peace. But when you do not have Christ in your heart as the great Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, then that means that there is no peace to you. For the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. The wicked is ever like the troubled waters of the sea, casting their mire up upon the bank. And the offering of the wicked is an abomination in the sight of God. The prayers of the wicked are abomination in the sight of God. And I will pursue the wicked until they perish from off of the face of the earth. I say this so often to you to try to get something over to you, and that is to see that God is not in love with the wicked. The ministry of today, there is within it a lot of perversion. There's a lot of perversion. What the devil does is he hatches off his ministers. He hatches them off from college. And he makes them to have a scientific way of life. And then he processes them through theology, so that they've got all kind of theories, all kind of ideology. And then when he gets through with them, he puts them up before the people so that he can strengthen his kingdom by perverting their minds, taking the intellectual indoctrinations of life, which is the derivative from the tangible sources of matter, and fastening the mind of humanity more and more to this, as to create bondage the more for the bond's child, as to all of their senses being relative to these things, or that is, they relate to the things of this world. So then, we find that he strengthens his kingdom, and he puts these preachers behind the sacred dais, and they follow the order of a numerical system as to the numbering of their strength, as to how many that they have in the church, and how much money will come in per capita or per subject. And with this, they run their operation. They figure out their overhead. There's nothing done by faith whatsoever. And they compass land and sea to make a proselyte. And when they have made him, they make him twofold more the child of hell than themselves, Jesus said. So then they do this so they can confiscate throughout the entire world. But when God raises up a minister, he does like he did in the days of Peter. He calls an old rugged fisherman. He calls an ignorant person, because if he calls a polished scholar, then when that polished scholar accomplishes, like many ministers are doing today, then the educational world, as the old tree of knowledge, gets the glory, or Satan gets the glory, or they say that man is a doctor of whatever, you know, as to divinity, and so he gets the glory, just like whether you are hatched off as a doctor of medicine, as an MD, or a doctor as to divinity of whatever it might be. And I'm not critical of the titles. I am not critical of that. That belongs to the world. And a lot of times they give honorary degrees or whatever to people who do not go after those things. But I'm just simply saying this, that it is no problem for you to have a doctor's degree or for you to have one of the great degrees of the world. You've got to apply yourself, but you can have it. See, it's no problem, especially with a child of God, because the Bible said all of them that are born of God have a good understanding, and the Bible said they shall be of a quick understanding. But people in the world are very slow in their understanding. If you'll watch them, even though they seem to be very, very sharp and clear, if you really ask them something, they don't even know how to answer you. I've asked professors things and different ones things. They're completely at a loss. They don't even know what you're talking about. See, the reason is because God does not educate his people from the schools of theology. He does not educate his people in the low levels of life as to this that is contrary to him, even the carnal human reasoning as to the veil of death. But he educates his people by faith in the words of life and the words of power and the words of spirit and the words of truth. He educates his people as the faith in God, which means faith in the Word of God. So in the beginning was God. God, he is still here today. God is a spirit. He's not a printed page. As I said before, God only used the dark ages as to get the page before us that we might have something of preservation when the apostles and the prophets were killed out, to carry it over in that terrible age when there was no spiritual people, when the Word of God could not come to the prophets. And so then it has been conveyed over to our day through the monks as to the scribes and whatever. And today we have this printed page. And God is once again trying to instill this wonderful Word of life into you and into me until this Word can be as it was with Jesus, the head of the body of the church, as to what it was with him, that you could say it is the Word made flesh. And as Paul said, it's not me living, but it is Christ living within me. All that is the Word has been made flesh in my body. And I seek to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. So then we can see something great here in the Word. We are educated differently. We preach differently. We preach without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, because he is the Spirit of holiness. We do not preach ritualistics as to salvation, or counting beads, or looking at a cross, or making signs across your chest, or holy water, and all this kind of stuff. We don't preach that. We preach that as foolishness. See, but we preach that you must be born again. Jesus said, lest you become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter into or inherit the kingdom of God. For flesh and blood as to intellectual abilities shall not come nigh this nor inherit this, because it is not given to them. For this is higher above your understanding as a natural person, that the heavens is the earth. And that the only way that you can have this is not through theology, not through schooling, but through the divine revelation of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, therefore, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For Paul said, I would speak unto you as unto spiritual, seeing that God is a spirit. So then we know that this comes from God, directly from God, hath been hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, which are the greats of this world, who consider us babes, and hath been revealed or made revelation unto babes, such as are willing to apply themselves and willing to learn. So we see what a great privilege that we have. Now, beloved, ye are the sons of God. They sang that song, we are the sons of God. Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are the sons of God. For now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be or what ye shall be like. Not as of yet. Because man looketh on the outward appearance, and as to the appearance of the outward observation, it is not yet seen as to the change. But the thing is, the change has already taken place in the mind of God. And this mind of Christ that before the world ever was, this thing that was wrought in that mind, now has been conveyed to you through that Spirit of Christ, or through that mind, in that you are born again. See, Jesus said that lest you be born again, or he said, lest you become a little child the second time, or as a little child, then you shall in no wise inherit or enter into the kingdom of God. And so then this great wonderful mind of God, which is the tree of life, it is in contest with the tree of knowledge, which is the mind of Lucifer, and the mind of the love of the world. And if the love of the world's in you, then you do have the mind of the world, and the love of the Father is not in you, which is the love as to the mind of Christ, which was about the Father's business when it dwelt in the body of Christ Jesus. So it's very obvious that there is something going on, and there is a great contest. And this contest is not in the earth, because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Therefore, it is not a contest as to one as to another. Men wrestle one with another. You see it on television and wherever. See, but we do not wrestle one with another. It is not a contest. When a man and a wife crosses up, that is not a contest between him and her. That is a contest between devils. Because if both of them was walking in the Word of God, that would not be that. See, there's something going wrong somewhere. And in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. We are born to the Spirit. We talk as though our conversation is in heaven. And we're laying up our treasures in heaven. All of our work, all of our endeavors, all of our efforts is to lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. But the Bible said, wherever your treasures is, there your heart will be also. So whatever your mind consists of, if your mind consists of the world, then are ye worldly. If your mind consists of heaven, then are ye heavenly. For the Bible said, as of the earth, such are they that are earthy. And they that are heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And we find then that there's a contest. There's a war in heaven. And this war is between spirits. Devil spirits, as those that are rejected as fallen angels. And heavenly spirits, as those angelic beings that are accepted of God, which are made ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation. So then we have around us the angels of the Lord. The angel of the Lord campeth round about them that love the Lord and fear him. And they are there to minister to you, because they are a ministering spirit to inspire you, to help lift you up, to help direct you, and help protect you in the time of trouble. That ministering spirit is always there. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, even the Holy Ghost is in your midst. Or I am there as the Holy Spirit. And then that means that also wherever he's at, the angels always surround him. The angels are always there. And the Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers, for some has entertained angels unaware. Jesus said, and ye took me not in when I was a stranger. So we see then that there is a contest, and this contest is between these angelic forces. There is the battle royal in the heavenlies between these angelic forces. And these angelic forces is there to minister to you and minister for you. You remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was on a long fast. He'd been out there with the beast for a long time, and he'd wrestled there, and it looked as though he had wrestled with the beast. In that they say the place where he was at, it was just beat down, just like a man had wrestled with a beast. out there among the wild beasts. The Bible said all those days. And the Bible said when he ended his fast, then the angels of God, they came and ministered unto Jesus. Ministered unto Jesus. That is to say, coming to offer assistance as to strength or whatever. You know, people minister one to another and they offer strength. When people are at a low ebb of life or they can't handle the situation, then somebody as to a neighbor will come and comfort, console, and divide a little bit. And though we do not place much emphasis on the fact that there are spiritual beings around about us, yet there is. And these spiritual beings are committed to the charge of watching over God's children and God's heritage, because they are ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation. Here's what I'm saying. We are having a battle. And this battle is not against flesh and blood. I am not wrestling against the audience when I have a problem. You come in here and I'm not wrestling against the audience. I am wrestling against minds, which are spirits. And people have such diversity of minds. They come in here and it's all kind of minds in this place. See, and that makes it hard on me. If I come in the mind of Christ, then I've got to battle with all of these spirits that's presenting themselves, whether in the form of criticism or in the form of scrutinizing or in the form of lust or covetousness or hatred or malice, or maybe you've been gossiping through the daytime, backbiting or whatever, and when you come to church, you didn't leave that devil outside because he's right there with you. When you come into church, you bring him in. It's like a cat that'll go out into the alley, back alley, and drag in an old dead rat or something. So it isn't long before we've got problems. So when I get up here, the first thing I have to do is take authority over all of the spirits that's within my presence. And I have to take control of all the spirits out there in the name of Jesus Christ. I have to speak to you in the person of Jesus Christ. If I pray for you, I have to pray for you in the person of Jesus Christ. Not as in my person, for my person is dead and gone, and it's the body of the Lord Jesus. I have to speak to you as unto those that are the bodily members of Christ, and I have to speak unto you as God speaking unto you, because it is not I that liveth, but Christ, because I'm crucified with Christ, and I'm buried with Christ, and so then it's not me living, but Christ. And so then when I speak to you, I come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do all things as unto God to glorify God, to give him the glory, because there is no need for me to try to glorify my carcass, in that my carcass is dead and gone. What is there to glorify? See, God will take care of that in the time that he wants to make it manifest. So then we're trying to minister to you, to open up your understanding, to make known to you the spiritual world, the spiritual realms. Folks, listen, if I was fixing to go to Hawaii and I'd never been over there, I'd want to know something about Hawaii. I'd want to know what the weather conditions was so that I could take the proper clothing. I'd want to know what I was going to do about the expense I run into and how much money I was going to need. I'd want to know what it was going to cost me as to the traveling going to and fro. I'd want to know a lot of things if I was going to Hawaii, or about going from Georgia to California. I'd want to know something. If I was going into England or into Europe, I'd want to know something. The Bible said a wise man looketh well to his going. He counts the cost. See, he ponders the path of his feet. And I'd want to know. And if I'm planning to go to heaven, as you term it in this world, then I want to know what the cost is. I want to know what I've got to pay. I want to know what it's going to cost me to make this trip to glory. I want to know what I'm going to run into. I want to know what's over there. I want to see that over there. Like before they went into Canaan land, it was said of Joshua and the others that these men should go in there spies. They should spy out the land and they should find out what kind of opposition was there, what kind of opportunity was there, what they needed to do as to fortify, to be able to move in right and not to lose people in the battle, and to be able to possess the land. Because God had said, go in and possess the land. And when they went in there to spy out the land, they came back with the fruits of Eshcol. And the Bible said how they did shine. Beautiful fruits of Eshcol. Great, gigantic fruits of Eshcol. And they came back and rejoicing and saying that we're well able to take the land, as to those that were of the right heart and the right mind, is to say, Joshua, Caleb, they had the right outlook about this thing. But when some of them came back and said, oh, the beautiful fruits, but we can never make it. We can never handle it. There are giants in that land, folks. Listen, we're crossing over into a land of giants. Just as quick as you get over the Jordan, you're going into the land of giants. Because the Bible said, and man is made a little lower than the angels. And the angels are giants. They're superior powers as to forces, as to strength, as to resist your spirit. And you're going into the land of giants. But we're not to be afraid. God said, don't be afraid, Joshua. Be of a good courage. He said, I'll give you the land. And Joshua stood firm on the word of God, commanded the sun, commanded the moon, and he stood fast in commanding the opening of the Jordan and went right straight across and marched around the walls of Jericho, and they fell to the ground and they possessed the land. See, God was upset with the others. You know, when you start talking to somebody saying, the devil's beating my brains out. Man, I've got a hard time. I can't meet my bills. Everything's going wrong. My husband won't do right. My wife won't do right. My children won't do right. The preacher, he ain't right. The congregation ain't right. And on and on and on, you know. We talk about everybody. We talk about everything until one day God gets us in front of the mirror. And he said, son, would you take a look at that troublemaker? And then all of a sudden we discover our problem. So then, I said that to say this, that we are facing great opposition. I am no match for a giant. I am no match for a giant. As it was with those people in that day when the giant came out in the days of David, they were no match. See, the giant gave his threat just to look at him. It tore the people up so that they would not face him, not even Saul. See, but there was a little shepherd boy, as I said the other night, was out on the hillside. He wasn't interested in his bodily appearance. Even though the Bible said he was ruddy, you know, he was of a fair countenance. And as a proper child as was with Moses, he'd been chosen for the things of God. But he'd been out there, you know, not minding, as we would say, as to the labor, as to the calluses on the hand. Like the story about Cinderella. You're not trying to be a pretty girl and paint up the lips and fix the hair and all of this other. As the story that we've spoken of about little Cinderella, the little fairy tale. You know, she was the one that was back here while the sisters were all prettied up, doing their thing, as we say. But when Prince Charming came to look for somebody, he was looking for a wife. He wasn't looking for a glamour girl. God isn't looking for a glamour girl. He's looking for a wife. He sent somebody ahead, even Paul the Apostle, saying, go to the Gentiles, be a light to the Gentiles, and bring me back a wife. Just as it was in the days of Eliezer when Abraham sent out the servant, go get me a wife for my son. See, God is looking for a wife, like the little story we told you about the thing where the great rancher out in the West, you remember the girl out there, how that this girl was just a cousin that come to visit with all of these people as to the great ranch, and the man came down from New York looking for a wife, and all of them painted up and all of them had a ball, and he went into it and he was so disappointed he finally just walked out the back door in the moonlight, the moon shining a dark night, disgusted, had come all the way down to get this actually happened as a real story, come down to get him a wife. And when he saw all of this, it was such a mess that he just got disgusted and left. And then while he was standing out near the corral, all of a sudden this little girl came out as to the cousin. The one that had to stay in the background and wash all the dishes. Came out to pour out the dishwater. And when he saw her, he immediately went over to her and began to talk with her. And she was so ashamed or so blushing as the story went on. You know, to think that this great man would come and speak to her. He was a great millionaire. He was the owner of all of the cattle of the ranches there. And so then it came to pass that that little lady, as I've told you before, that little lady caught his heart. See, the others caught his eyes, but she caught his heart. You know, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for someone that will catch his heart. He could care less about how pretty you are, or whether your hair is curly, or whether you've pumped your muscles, or whether or not you are a glamour girl. He doesn't care about that. The Bible said concerning David, David was a man after God's own heart. David had such courage, he didn't fear a giant. He didn't fear a lion. He didn't fear a bear. See, God is looking for a heart of faith. And the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God, for they that come unto God must believe that God is, and believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is looking for a heart of faith, because a heart of faith will bring you to a place to where you don't fear the giants. You'll trust in the Word of God. That little sling that represented faith and that little stone that represented the Word of God, David trusted in that. He had proven that thing. And when Saul offered him the sword, he didn't want it. And when, as to the denominational attire of today, and to join a denominational rank, or to get into the religious world, to count beads and all their formalities, to find prestige and the things of the world, that's not the way to defeat the devil. The Bible said, draw nigh unto God, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and then resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. And when all of these boys were standing out there, when little David came and he saw the giant, it never moved little David, because he had that faith in his heart. He had a heart like God. He had a heart of faith. Great and mighty courage was in his heart. And he wasn't afraid of the bellowing of the giant. Don't be afraid of the beller of the giant. Don't be afraid of the things of the world. Don't be afraid, because even though it is a land of giants, and though there are many giants in that land, and great and mighty giants, yet he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world, and we're well able to take the land. God, as the great spirit, will strengthen your spirit until the magnitude of you will be so much greater than a giant, until you do like David when he flipped that little sling around and knocked the giant out. Or you'll do like the man when the giant was coming up on the side of David to kill David, that one of David's swordsmen just went right by David. Seeing that David did not see it, he saved David's life. He flipped that sword out of that giant's hand and he killed him right there. See, or like one of the great men of David that come by a pit and hear the lion down in the pit, and lo and behold, he just jumped down into the pit with the lion and killed him right there in the pit. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm talking about faith in God with men like Samson that just reached out, took a lion and just rend him like he was a kid. See, faith and courage in God, and the giants mean nothing. So don't discourage the hearts of the people. But anyway, the man was looking for a wife. He was looking for a wife. You know, he didn't need a glamour girl. All of these pretty churches, they're fine. They have a name that they live, but they're dead. Some of them twice dead and plucked up by the roots. See, God is looking for a heart. The Bible said in God's eyes are throughout the earth, going to and fro in the earth, looking for the upright in heart, that he might show himself strong in their behalf. So he's looking for a heart. God wants a heart of faith, sanctifying the heart by faith. Then the Spirit of Christ Jesus comes into that heart. And folks, when God gets into you, you're so much bigger than a giant, till a giant is no more than a baby to you. See, I see those giants out there. Some of them's got a PhD that made them a giant to these little babies. And some of them is an MD that made them a giant to the little babies. And the little babies run to them with a regularity asking for their help. And they're such gigantic people out there in the world. They're so extraordinary, so astronomical in their appearance or their activities. Millions and billions of dollars and great mighty education, ever learning, ever studying, you know, in their book work and ever trying to work their device to get control of your spirit, to make you relate to the world that Satan, through them, that's given them that brilliance in the perverted sense, can control you through them, through their money, and through the wisdom of this world, which God said is foolishness to God. All of the professors, their learning is foolishness to God. All of the great medical world, their learning is foolishness to God. All of the other things of the great knowledge of the world is foolishness to God. Why is it Because the Bible said in all of their great learning and knowledge, they still didn't know God. God was in the world, and they did not know that He was here. And the Bible said because God came to the world and they knew not God, it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching to convert the world. That is, they should be saved by the foolishness of preaching. So we see our battle is with the giants. These that have climbed up out of the bottomless pit. These that have climbed up out of the holes of the earth. And these that have climbed up into the upper lintel. For the Bible said the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel. That is, he's got between God and the people who are the subjects of God. And he hath moved into a personification as into the children of disobedience, taking their minds into captivity to his will, establishing him a second heaven as to the glitter and glamour of this world, and sitting upon, as you would say, the curvature of the earth, catching that wonderful light of God, and as it comes down to you, keeping you under bondage, under his power, because he is a great angelic being, and you're afraid to go against him. But folks, let me tell you, God had a little David, and his name was Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. And one day he met that great giant of opposition, and he dethroned him. And the Bible says, and I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning, and the accuser of the brethren is cast out, and now is come power, now is come power. Rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven, for now I've destroyed him that hath power over death. And I've destroyed the works of the devil, and greater is he that is on the inside of you than he that is in the world. So then, why be afraid? Why be afraid? We are the sons of God. Now, beloved, are we the sons of God? And you know, one of these nights, as I said, I really want to minister on the translation as to being the children of God, as being the sons of God, or as to what it means to be born again or being born of God. It's beautiful. Here we are. So then the opposition is gone. What do we have to fear? The giant has been overthrown. And we are the girl with the dishpan hands. We are those that labor fervently in God, denying self, doing the work and the toil while the world is arrayed in their beauty and while they're in their sparkle and dazzle and while they have all the benefits of the world. You and I, as Paul said, are made the offscouring of the earth as to their perverted minds and perverted ways of thinking. You know, I don't guess there's anything that's more insulting to me as to the thought than to see some of these people that are in the upper echelon that is literally rotten and hiding behind the scene with money, powder and paint and whatever, when they are rotten and filthy to the core and educated to corruption. To see them walking around and it looks like there's some great thing and they frown on holiness and frown on people and they speak evil of dignities and dignitaries because these people are great godly dignities that shall last throughout eternity and rule all of eternity. And those people that are a bunch of beasts slopping around as hogs in the mire and as dogs just lapping the vomit, and these people that are God's people are made to bow down to them as to the giants. There in the valley when David attacked that giant, he had conquered the whole army of Saul. All of Israel was bowed down there. And we go out there to these things and bow down to them. That's not right, folks. The Bible said when the king had everything ready, he said to the Hebrew children, you will bow down to my image. They said, be it known unto you, king, all the rest of them might do it, but not us. We're not going to do it. See, we're not going to do it, but you'll go into the fire furnace. Well, let us tell you something, king. Said that the God that we serve continually is able to deliver us, and if he doesn't deliver us, we still aren't going to bow down to your image. See, and God took care of them. They had courage. Daniel had courage. And this is what we need today. We need faith in God because faith gives courage. When you are confident in the word of God as to what God has promised, all things that pertain unto life. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I am the God that forgiveth all of thine iniquities. I heal all of thy diseases. I will make your enemies to be at peace with you if your ways please me. Though the enemy comes out against you, I'll make him to flee before you 7 ways. And he said, and I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. It is my blessing as to making you rich and add no sorrow, for I, the Lord, am the one that giveth you the power to get wealth. I am the one that if you'll delight yourself in me, I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I'll overthrow those that's taken your land as squatters out there, drive these off by running an abstract, and then I'll put you in their place, and you will take over the kingdoms of the world, and ye shall possess it forever and forever. And he said, the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. So it's very obvious that those people are dirty and filthy out there. See, and we are doing obeisance unto them. Someone would say, Brother Pike, I don't care to do obeisance. I don't either. Why then does the church do obeisance unto them? Obeisance unto them because they have the gun on their hip, the badge up here, and they say, we are the authority. Well, as you know, they're lying. There's no authority except God, and no one has authority except those that God give it to. We're the authorities. See, but they use force. We don't use force. For the Bible said the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but yet it's still mighty to the casting down of strongholds. And everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God is to the casting down of imagination, bringing every thought into the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we find that those people are puffed up, vainly puffed up, by their fleshly mind, beholding a world of vanity, esteeming one another, seeking praise and honor from one another, and can never have the honor that comes from God. But you are the true dignitaries. You're in school. I'm teaching you. God's teaching you to get you ready to take over the world. You're not just here by chance. See, you are here to take over this world. For the Bible said, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. For all things are for you. And God made everything in this world for you. It belongs to you. The only thing that God is asking as of now for you not to bother with it because it's contaminated. It's under a curse. And God wants you to come to him to where he can run these things through the filter, to seek the kingdom of God first, and then all of these things will be added unto you. For I've given you all things that pertain unto life. And so then when you get these things, they are not a curse anymore. They don't bring a curse on you. They're not contaminated anymore. They're not defiled anymore. But folks, when you sidestep God and you go out there, you're nothing but a beast. And when you go out there and get those things, they are an abomination in the sight of God. It doesn't matter if you have millions of dollars, like when Saul over there rejected the word of God and wanted to offer unto God all kind of cattle that he had got from among those people, that he might show himself a big king and make himself greater in the sight of the people. God wouldn't have his offerings. God said, Samuel, you go tell Saul that I have rejected him, and because he hath rejected my word, I have rejected him. And folks, when you reject the word of God, God hath rejected you. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a millionaire. When you reject the word of God and you won't conform to the word of God, then God hath rejected you. Anytime that the preacher preaches to you the word of God and you reject the word of God, God hath rejected you. To begin with, how can God receive you? For without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. And your faith is made manifest by your doings, for the child is known by his doings. And if you don't do it, it means you don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, you don't have any faith. And if you don't have any faith, your heart isn't purified. And if it isn't purified, then the great Holy Spirit can't have any fellowship with you. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, we know where we've been, we know where we are, we know where we're going, we know who we are. We know what we're here and what our purpose is in the earth. And those people out there are playing their games, their little children. playing games. To them, we're little children. And indeed, we are as to what they're doing, because we don't mess around in all of that stuff that they're entangled with. We don't know that much about it because we don't care that much about it. You know, all that stuff is not needful. That's just a conglomeration of a babbling out there, always learning and always learning and putting their eyes out, studying and everything else in the old college of to the tree of knowledge. They've adapted themselves. See, and we're not interested in all that garbage out there. We are interested in the words of power, the words of life, and the words of truth. And God is training you for a legislation that's coming in to where you, as the sons of God, the Bible said, and the government shall be upon your shoulders. And this is coming in to where God is going to legislate through the great wisdom and understanding of you, because all of them that be of God are of a good understanding and a quick understanding. And when you get this Bible, you don't have to learn what they are doing out there. You already know it. You already know it. This Bible makes you to understand all things. The Bible said you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. And Jesus said, whatever my Father hath made known unto me, I've made known unto you. So then, you don't have to learn anything about them out there. See, how do you know letters never having learned, Jesus? How? He was just a boy. How do you know? Where was the colleges and the schools when God took them out of Egypt and took them for 40 years through the wilderness? And yet their understanding was so great that God said, when you enter into Canaan, the fear of the people is going to be this, that your understanding is so great that they're going to be afraid of you because of your understanding. All of them are of a good understanding that love the Lord Jesus. So then it's because the Bible says, and the Spirit of God shall be upon him and make him of a quick understanding. And we are bone of him and flesh of him. And it's not us living, but him. We could go on and go on into the wonderful mind of God and the wonderful things of God, because we still, in what we've said this morning and said tonight, we still haven't even scratched the surface as to what we wanted to bring out concerning some things that I feel like that you need, because the time of this happening as to what we would express is getting closer and closer to hand. All right, let's stand together. Now we appreciate your kind attention. Appreciate your bodily presence and your spiritual presence. Paul said on one occasion, though I'm absent in body, I'll be present with you in spirit, beholding your steadfastness. And we can say, in some circumstances, though people are just the reverse, we still have patience. For though they are absent in spirit, they are here in body, and their mind is everywhere but on God and on God's word. But we're still merciful to you. You know, Paul said whether in the body, out of the body, he couldn't tell when he was caught up into the third heaven. But he did say this, that whether we are absent from the body or present in the body, that we're determined to do what God wants us to do and to be what God wants us to be. All right, let's sing together, can we? I claim Jesus first of all. God will answer me when I call. For I know that I'm a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. We claim Jesus first of all. God's gonna answer me when I call. For I know that I'm a child, the Son set free. We are God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first. Can you sing it one more time with me? I claim Jesus first of all. God's gonna answer me when I call. For I know that I'm a child of sin.
sunset. We are God's own children by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first and that. Sing it one more time if you really believe that. Though I claim Jesus first of all, God's gonna answer me when I call. For I know that I'm a child, the sun sets free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first and that's enough for me. All right, let's sing a little chorus or two tonight and worship the Lord. I suppose that you're probably tired tonight. I'm a little tired. I don't like to come to church tired, but you know, we're about through the day and trying, of course, to talk to different ones and help different ones to understand. We run into these kind of things. And sometimes we're a little bit tired. Just lift your hands up. Close your eyes. How wonderful is the multitude of His words. For He stretched out the heavens. He said, let there be, and there was. When darkness was upon the face of the deep, He said, let there be light, and the light shined out of darkness. And though the darkness comprehended it not, it fled away. But today, the children of light, as to the day star dawning within your heart, as to the children of the day, not being the children of the night, you comprehend that light, and that light radiates from you because you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We're going to sing this little chorus as we close. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved. Once again now, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. I to love indeed, loving me. All because that He first loved me. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. For I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book is mine. You love the Lord? I think we just sing maybe a couple more verses anyway. Let's sing this chorus verse, Brother Taylor. Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. one to us who lost and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fear relieved. Oh, how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Oh, when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in that I'll wear a crown, I'll wear a crown, I'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the Jerusalem. Let's give him one more hand. All right, let's lift our hands up together. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's lift our hands up together. Let's take this praise with us to go away with a praise in our heart to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget the meetings that's coming up now. I hope some of you will be able to go with me. We'll let you know a little more about it as we go along. Brother Chuck's being real faithful, he and Stevie, to put on the back of the brochures the directions to where you can't hardly miss it, to take you right to it. And if you'll just pray and work with us, we'll work with you and we'll have a good time in the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. While we're standing here together, I'm going to ask Brother Gary Jonah if he'll come up and dismiss us. And while Gary is coming, let's just lift our hands up. Can we sing one more time? I will praise him. And I will praise him. My heart will praise him.